My name is Robbie Prater, and my wife Lauren, God has called us to be church planting missionaries to the country of Paraguay, South America. And just a little bit of history about Paraguay is that in 1864, they began what today is known as the bloodiest and the deadliest war of Latin America. And that war was called the War of the Triple Alliance. And so it was Paraguay versus Brazil, Argentina, and Uruguay was the Triple Alliance there, and they battled this war. And because of that war, over two-thirds of the population of Paraguay was depleted, and that included 90% of the male population. And because of that, today their population still suffers, and they only have about 7 million people there in Paraguay. But now that the War of the Triple Alliance is over, Paraguay is still battling one of the greatest wars today, or the greatest war today. And that is the battle of sin. Over 7 million people in Paraguay are battling that right now. And Satan is waging the war of the Paraguayan hearts right now with sin. Because of this war, Paraguay, they have they're very nationalistic. And so they hold strong ties to one of their tribal languages, which is called Guarani. And so they have two national languages, the first being Spanish, and the second one being the indigenous language there, Guarani. But they don't just stop there. They like to mix them together sometimes. And so they will be speaking Spanish, and then they'll go right into Guarani, and then they'll go right back into Spanish. And then they'll do it vice versa. They'll be speaking Guarani, say something in Spanish, and then go back to Guarani. And they call that language Jopora. And so really they have three languages that they speak, but only two of those would be the national language. But over 90% of the population today practices Roman Catholicism. And if you're familiar with Roman Catholicism, that is a work-based salvation. So they believe in doing all of these different things. And we'll talk about that more in the message this evening. But as we go to Paraguay, God has laid three different burdens, three different goals on our hearts, if you'll pray with us. The first goal that we have is to plant multiple local churches. So if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, there will be Bible, gospel-preaching churches in every single community in this world, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel. And so whenever I went to Paraguay, I was able to visit last year. And as we were driving around, we came to this group of men. And there were about 20 men that were standing in a court. And in the middle of the court was a volleyball net. And they were hitting the ball back and forth. And so it looked like volleyball. But as we got to talking to the men, the name of the game is called Piquiboli. And basically what they do is they hit it back and forth, but they don't use their hands. And so they'll use their head, they use their feet, they use their bodies in order to get the ball over the net. And it has all the same rules as volleyball. But as we were talking to these men, we asked them if there was a church in the area. And they told us of one right down the road. So of course we jumped back in the van. We're going to check it out. Well, the only church that these men know of in their community is not a gospel preaching church. The only church that they know of in their community. It's not like here in the South where we have churches on every corner and everywhere we go, there's churches. There's only one church that they know of in their community. And it doesn't even preach the gospel. And that is sad. And that's a problem. And we have to do something about that in Paraguay, South America. And there are communities all over this world today, including here in America, that don't have gospel preaching churches. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel, we have to have multiple gospel preaching churches in every community. But not only do we want to plant those churches, we are praying now. Lauren is praying for women and children. I am praying now that God is preparing the hearts of Paraguayan men, women, and children for the gospel. That way, whenever we get there, they would accept Christ as their Savior, but then they would surrender their life to please the Lord, to surrender their life to serve the Lord. And so that comes in our second goal, is that we are praying that we will be able to train men, to train leaders to take over the churches that we plant. And so we want there to be a national pastor and a national family that will pastor these churches. That's only going to be if they are willing to serve Him with their life. So would you pray with us that God would allow us to plant churches? Would you pray that God would begin working in the hearts of the Paraguayan people today? We pray that every single night that the Lord would begin working in their hearts to receive the gospel, but not just to stop there, but then to surrender their life to serve Him with their entire life, and that way we can train leaders. And the third goal that we have, if you, I won't make you open your Bibles here this evening, but the third goal we have is, as I started deputation, I began praying that God would give us a theme for our ministry and a theme for our life. And so one of the things about me is that I love crazy socks. I just love them. It's my favorite thing about my outfit every day. You can ask Lauren. We got married 6 weeks ago, and then she looked and she saw that I have two drawers that are full of socks. And so she's like, this is crazy, but it's just my thing. I love it. Everybody knows that. But whenever I die, I don't want to be remembered as the guy that loved crazy socks. I want to be remembered that I loved God and I loved others. And so as we began praying about this theme for our life and for our ministry, God gave me this theme of love. And in 1 John chapter 4 in verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." The very nature of God is love. And then whenever we got saved, when we asked Christ in our heart as our Savior, that very nature of love moved inside of each one of us. And now it's our responsibility as Christians to tell the world about the love of Jesus Christ, about the love that God had for us, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And not only do we have to tell them about this love, but we know that love is an action word. We have to show them. We have to go out to the lost and the dying world and show them the same love that God has shown us. Because how is a lost and a dying world going to know a God that loves them so much if we, the believers, if we don't take it to them and tell them? But what if we don't show them? If you would, pray for us. We do covet your prayers as we travel. We have prayer cards back on the table. We would love for you to take one of those and to pray for us and to answer any questions that you might have about our ministry or about each of us as well. If you would, open your Bibles this evening to two very familiar passages of Scripture, the book of Mark in chapter number 16. And then if you'll hold and mark your place over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. I know that these are familiar passages and we've heard them preached on many times, but I pray that this evening the message would be a blessing and an encouragement to you as it has been as I've been studying and preparing. Today, I would like to just simply speak on this idea of share Christ. The idea of share Christ. Each year, my pastor, he prayerfully considers a new theme for the church every year. Some years he has done always abounding, and he's encouraged the church to always abound in the work of the Lord. Other years he did together, and he just really encouraged the church just to worship the Lord together. And as we do ministry, do it together with our families, with our church members. This year he chose this theme of share Christ. And this theme has encouraged me and has challenged me to be more conscious of the opportunities that we have to share Christ. See, the problem is not that we don't have the opportunities to share Christ. The problem is that we don't take advantage of those opportunities. And so through this theme of sharing Christ, it has just encouraged me to be more aware of that idea. Several months ago, I went and visited my dad for the evening, and I spent the night with him, and I took my little brother outside, and he was riding his little dirt bike up and down the road, and some of the neighbors came out, and they were all out there playing around, and there was a 16-year-old boy, and me and him began talking, and I asked him if he goes to church anywhere. He said that he did, so I asked him about if he was saved, and he had no clue what salvation was. And so I took the opportunity, and I just began explaining to him what salvation was. I had the Bible on my phone there, and so I was able to show him what the Bible said about how to get to heaven. And so we began talking, and for 2 hours we stood there and we talked. And he would ask me questions, and I would take the Bible and I would show him what the Bible says. For 2 hours we stood there and talked. And every time I would answer one of his questions, he would just say, "That makes so much sense. That just makes so much sense." Can I say tonight that the gospel, it just makes so much sense for us in our lives? The gospel makes sense. And so we began talking, and as we talked, I shared the gospel with him several times. And at the end of the night, he bowed his head and he asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him from his sins. But the story doesn't stop there. As soon as he got done praying, we talked some more, and he just started saying, I feel so free. I feel so free. And I was like, that is great, buddy. He said, can I go get my mama? She needs to hear this the most. And I said, I don't know why she needs to hear it the most, but that's what he said. So he went and got his mom and his younger brother that was 12 years old, and we began talking to them, and I shared the gospel with them again. And the 12-year-old brother, right there in front of their mom, he bowed his head, and he asked Christ to come in his heart as his Savior. And unfortunately, the mom did not get saved that night, but these two boys' lives have been changed forever, all because of an opportunity that was taken. And I don't say that story for you to look at me and think that I'm anything. That was all the work of the Holy Spirit. Because to be honest with you, I didn't want to stand out there for 2 hours. It was dark, and I was ready to go inside and tired. But the Holy Spirit had that meeting planned for us, and that I was able to take advantage of that opportunity that evening and just share Christ with those young men. But this evening, if you'll read with me in the book of Mark, chapter number 16 and in verse 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now look in Matthew chapter number 28 in the Bible, in verse number 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This evening, I know that these passages are familiar. We've heard these preached before, but this evening I'd ask us to prayerfully consider, what is it that God would have to speak to each one of us about this evening? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here tonight, Lord, to present the ministry that you have put on our hearts, Lord. I pray that this hour would now honor and glorify you, Lord. I pray now that you would encourage us through your word, Lord. Open up our minds and open up our hearts to what you would be speaking to each individual about tonight, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Each of us play different roles in our lives. So whatever your role is in life, whether you are, whatever your profession is, your job is, you go to work every day, and that role has a set of responsibilities that you have to fulfill. As a spouse, we've been given a role to play, but with that role has come great responsibilities. And you could fill in the blank with whatever your role is in life and whatever that responsibility comes with that role in life. But tonight, as Christians, that is not a role that we play in life. That is who we are. We are Christians. We are born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed children of God. That's not just a role that we play in life, but that is who we are. We are Christians. And being a Christian, we have been given the greatest responsibility, and that is to share Christ. That is to take the gospel into the whole world. And if we're going to reach the whole world with the gospel, then it's going to start exactly where we are tonight, here in Hendersonville, North Carolina. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel, it must start right here. Tonight, I encourage us to simply just to share Christ. Each of us are here this evening because someone took the opportunity to share Christ with us. For me, it was whenever I was 11 years old. I didn't grow up in church, and so whenever I was 11 years old, somebody came by our house on a Saturday afternoon, and they knocked on our door, and we weren't home at the time, but they left a track in our door. And when we got home, my mom, she saw that track, and she pulled it out of the door, and she read it, and she said, "Son, we're going to go to church in the morning." And I said, okay. I didn't know what that meant. Never been to church before in my life. And so we went to church. And I was able to go and hear the gospel preached. And I didn't get saved that week, but we came back the very next week. And we listened to the pastor preach again. And we came forward after service. And he took us in the office there. And he opened up his Bible, took us through the Romans Road, showed us what the Bible said. And my siblings and I, on Valentine's Day of 2010, we bowed our head. And we asked Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and save us from our sins. And I don't know who it was for you or where you were. Maybe it was a coworker, friend, or a family member that shared Christ with you. Or maybe you were at a teen revival or a youth camp or wherever it was or whoever it was. Someone found the gospel important enough in their life that they shared it with you. Tonight, would we find the gospel important enough in our own lives that we would want to share it with others. This evening, as we see these very familiar passages of Scripture, I notice several truths. The first truth that I notice is that we've been given a command. We've been given a command. The Bible says, he says, go ye into all the world. In Matthew 28, 20, or 19, he says, go ye therefore. Tonight, we've been given a command to go. And as we look at this command, oftentimes we read these scriptures, we read these passages, and we just apply those to that are taking the gospel to the foreign mission field. We only apply that to those that are going outside of the United States. But tonight, can I say that this command is for every individual in here today? The command to take the gospel to the whole world starts exactly where we are this evening. As we look at this command today, we realize that this command is for every individual in here. It's not just for the pastor, for the ministry leaders, for the song leaders, and for the Sunday school teachers, but it is for everybody. As tonight we see this command, we see that this is a personal command. Can I ask us tonight to take this command personal in our own lives? Would we look at this command, and as we see there, it says, go ye. If you translate that literally, it means you go. All of us are to go. We're all to go to the lost and the dying in this world and share Christ and share the gospel with them. See, this command to take the gospel around the world plays a role in every single person's life. And every single person's life has a role to play in fulfilling this command. You know, I noticed that there's really one major problem. In Matthew 9:37, Jesus says, then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, the Bible does not tell us that the problem is that there aren't enough souls to witness to. No, he says that there aren't enough people that are going to witness to the lost souls. It doesn't say that there's not enough lost souls in the world. There are 7.7 billion people in this world today, and it's projected that we will reach 8 billion people by the end of this world, by the end of this year, that will be on the planet. It is our responsibility to take the gospel to the whole world. Would we take it personal tonight? I want to take the gospel serious in my own life because I know what it's done for me. I grew up in a broken home. My parents were divorced whenever I was 4 years old. I saw many different things that most people don't see in their lives, seeing my parents go through a divorce and living in a broken home and having to choose and decide where I'm going to go on what holidays and if I'm going to offend the other parent or not. And just growing up and all that, my dad was married to a lady for 18 years that just did a lot of harm to our family and just saw so many bad things as a kid. But whenever I got saved, all of that changed. At 11 years old, whenever I asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart and save me, my whole perspective was able to change. Because just a few years later, my dad ended up getting another divorce. And he had my younger brother with his second wife, and he was 14 at the time. And so through that, through all of the experiences that I had, I was able to look at my life in a different way. I was able to use that to then help my brother that was going through the same things that I went through whenever I was 4 years old. But if I didn't have the gospel, then I probably would have never had that view. I probably would have never seen life in that way. But I'm sure each one of us in here tonight could look back on our lives. And you could look back before you were saved and now that you're saved. And you can say, man, the gospel has done so much for me and my family. I was talking to our sister this evening before the service, and she was just telling me all that the gospel did in her family's life and how now she was able to pray and ask for forgiveness and just do all of these things. Do we realize what the gospel has done for each of us in our life? It's so important that we take the gospel personal in our own lives. But not only do we need to take this command personal, we realize that this command has been given to us with authority. With authority. There in Matthew 28 and verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That word power there, it means authority. See, I grew up with five siblings, and so my sister, she was the oldest, and so she was always trying to tell us what to do. And anytime she would tell one of us what to do, our response was always, "You're not my mama, you can't tell me what to do." And basically, what I was telling her is, "You do not have the authority to tell me what to do in my life. Only my mom does." But can I say tonight, Jesus Christ has the ultimate authority in our life. He didn't just say this command just to say it. He didn't just speak to the disciples just to speak to them, but the authority was given to him to give us the Great Commission. Does Jesus Christ have authority in our lives tonight? Have you given him the authority over your life tonight? Because if we have, if he has the authority over our life like we say he does, then whenever he speaks to us, when he calls us, we will listen and we will obey. We would obey it. Not only would we hear, I heard him calling me for several years to go into ministry, but I didn't obey. But then one day I just realized how much authority he had in my life. And I obeyed that call. Would we obey the authority of the Holy Spirit tonight? Sometimes I know that we like to bargain with the Lord, right? We like to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to share the gospel here in my community as long as you don't have me do it outside of where I'm comfortable doing it." Or we say, "Okay, Lord, I'll be a witness for you right here in my community. Just don't call me to the mission field because I'm not going to go out there." But can I say that putting limits on where we're going to share the gospel is a very dangerous thing. Lauren and I were at a missions conference probably 2 or so weeks ago, and we were talking to this young couple in the church. They've surrendered their life to go to the mission field now, but he said just months before, he had told his fiance, he said, "I will not be a missionary. I'm not going to the mission field." And then he said several months later, he had to go back to her, and he told her, he said, "For some reason, God's called me to be a missionary." And she said, "For about the past month, I've been praying, and I told God that I would only be a missionary if you're going to be a missionary." And so now they've gotten married and now they're on their way to the mission field. But may we not put limits on where we're going to say we're going to share the gospel? Don't put limits on where we're going to serve the Lord at. That's such a dangerous thing for us to do. Tonight we see and we understand that Christ has given us this command. Would we take that command personal in our own lives? Would we realize what the gospel has done for us and what it can do for the whole world? Those two boys are sitting there tonight with their whole lives changed because of the opportunity that was taken. You know, the problem is not that we don't have the opportunities, but it's that we don't take advantage of those opportunities. And would we realize that Jesus Christ has the authority to give us the command, and he has the authority in our lives. The second truth that we see here this evening is that Christ has given us a message. He's given us a message. He says in Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Simply tonight, that's all we have to do is preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the most glorious message that we've ever been given. That's the only message that we have to preach. Paul, he says, "Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel." Woe is unto us if we don't preach the gospel to others, if we don't take it personal. If we don't take advantage of the opportunities to share Christ with the lost and the dying world tonight, if we're going to preach the gospel, we have to realize that we're sinners. We have to realize that we're sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know what your background is in here today. I don't know if you grew up like I did and you weren't in church and you spent some years in church and then got out of church and back in church. I don't know what your background is here tonight. I don't know what you've done, but I can say this is that all of us in here tonight are sinners. We've all done wrong. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, a price has to be paid for our sins. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, God looked down at this world. He looked down at mankind, and he realized that there was nothing that we could do to earn salvation. In Paraguay, over 90% of the population follows Roman Catholicism. And that is a work-based salvation. And what they believe is that they can say enough prayers, that they can go to Mass enough, that they can light enough candles to be able to work to get themselves to heaven. They even believe that after their loved one dies, that if they could pray for their loved one enough, if that they could do enough for their loved one on their behalf, that their loved one might still be able to get to heaven. See, they're putting all of their faith and their works in hopes of earning an eternal security. But the truth is tonight is that there is nothing that you and I can do. And God looked down and he saw that. There was nothing that we could do. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Tonight, we realize that we're sinners. We realize that a price has to be paid for our sins. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let us not forget that salvation is all about the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, and that he sent his son, that he showed that love to us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You see, if you go into a Catholic church, you'll see two different things every time. The very first thing that you'll see is you will always see Mary being glorified. She will be dressed in a beautiful dress. She will be always just so beautiful, and she will be glorified in magnificent ways in the room. And then over to the side, you'll always see Jesus, but he'll always be in two forms, in the form of a baby or in a form of continual suffering. And that is to signify that Jesus, his death and his birth, was not sufficient enough to pay for our sins. And they're believing in this, and over 90% of the people in Paraguay are trusting in their own works. But let us not forget that salvation is not what we can do, but it is by the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not only do we have to realize that we're sinners, not only do we realize that a price had to be paid for our sins, but tonight you can believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, the gospel is a whosoever gospel. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you are today spiritually. The gospel is a whosoever gospel. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight, if you don't know if you died today, if you would go to heaven, I invite you to allow somebody to take the Bible and to open it and to show you exactly what you could do to get to heaven and the price that Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. I had the opportunity of visiting Paraguay last year, and I told you about those men that I was able to see. And I just began thinking about those men and how their family, it represents a whole congregation. That just those 20 men right there represent a whole congregation. And because each of them have a family, they have a wife and children back at home. And I just look at those 20 men and I realize that they're never going to hear the gospel because the only church in their community doesn't even preach the gospel. And they're never going to hear it if someone doesn't go. And they'll never hear it if someone doesn't tell them about Jesus Christ. And they'll never have that opportunity like you and I had. Because whenever a community gets a church, they get so much. If you just realize what if Hendersonville, North Carolina, only had Calvary Baptist Church, do you realize what they would have today? They would have a pastor that loves them, that wants to reach their soul with the gospel, that preaches the Bible. They would have a church, a family that loves their children, that wants to invest in them. Do we realize tonight that there are communities all around this world that don't have the opportunities that you and I have tonight to listen to the gospel and much less even preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own communities? Tonight we see that Christ has given us a command. We see that Christ has given us a message. But lastly, tonight, the third truth that we see is that Christ has given us an urgency. Mark 16:16, the Bible says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not is damned." Do we see the urgency? It says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." The urgency tonight of the Great Commission is not to urge people to give more money to missions. The urgency of this commission is for us to understand that there are lost and dying people all around us. And they are damned already. They are on their way to hell. John 3:18 says this. He says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, they're condemned already. if they've never called on the name of the Lord, if they never had the opportunity to hear the gospel, they are condemned already. Do we see the urgency this evening? These people are condemned already. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The urgency this evening is to get the gospel to the lost and the dying of the world. The urgency is that they're never going to hear because they don't have a preacher. And the preacher's never going to go if someone can't send them. And they'll never believe because they never heard on the gospel. That is the urgency this evening. Can I say this evening, that hell is a real place? If we do nothing, if we don't do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission, then there are going to be people all around the world today that are dying and going to hell on our behalf. This is how I look at it. And I've seen it this way so many times, is that there is somebody in this world today, and they are waiting for me to share the gospel with them. And if I don't share the gospel with them, nobody else is. There is somebody today that is waiting on you to share the gospel with them. And if you don't share it with them, then nobody else is going to share it with them. They'll never believe because they never heard, because no one ever went. Would we take the gospel personal this evening? Would we see the command that has been given to us with authority? Would we understand that we've been given an urgency to get the gospel to the whole world? That they are condemned already, that they are on their way to hell. If they never hear, they'll never believe. In 2019, I was given the opportunity to go on a missions trip to Peru, South America. And we drove around the whole week, and we just looked at all these different communities, and we visited some of the churches that were there, but we would drive for sometimes a couple of hours. We would drive around, and we would be driving for hours, and we would never see a gospel-preaching church. We drove around all week doing that. And at the end of the week, the missionary, the very last night, he took us up onto the mountain to where we could see over the city. And as we looked out on the city, you could see just every light that filled the entire city there, a city of 3 million people in southern Peru. And as we looked at those lights, he challenged us to look at those lights, not just as lights, but he said, each one of those lights is a soul. And one day, that soul is going to face eternity. They're either going to face eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, or they're going to open their eyes and they're going to face eternity in hell. And he asked me this question. He asked me this question throughout the whole week. And at that night, he asked me that question as we were looking out at those lights. We were seeing them as souls. And that their soul was going to face eternity one day. And that's what he said. He said, "What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about the 7.7 billion people in this world that one day their soul is going to face eternity? And if nobody goes, if there's not a preacher, nobody's going to hear. And because they can't hear, they won't believe. And because of that, their soul is condemned already." Tonight, would we see the urgency of the gospel? Sometimes we get a little nervous. If you're like me, you don't really like talking in front of people. You get nervous. And every time I go to hand a tract to somebody and share the gospel with somebody, my knees start shaking, my heart starts racing. I just get so nervous. And because I'm just not that kind of person, I like to just come in and sit in the back and just sit there and be quiet and then leave after the service is done. That would be great for me. But that's not what God's called me to do. He's called me to preach the gospel. But can I say this, is that whenever we go to share the gospel, that we're not alone. In Matthew 28:20, the Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things I have whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." See, Jesus ascended back to heaven, but he sent us a comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us today. If we would just understand that we're not alone whenever we go to share the gospel, as we just go to hand that person that tract, we can just understand that the Holy Spirit's with us. That we don't have to be nervous. We don't have to be scared about what they're going to say, what they're going to think, what I'm going to say, if I'm going to trip over my words, if I'm going to make a fool out of myself. Because the Holy Spirit's with us. And if the Holy Spirit is in it, our work would not be in vain. and that the Lord will use that. If we could just take it personal tonight, we would just take tracts and have them with us at all times. And whenever the opportunity is presented to us, will we just understand that, lo, I am with you always. And the Holy Spirit's going to be right there with us. There's no need to be nervous. There's no need to be scared. He always gives us grace exactly when we need it. Tonight, I know that this message is simple. I know we've heard these passages preached so many times. But tonight, really, the heart of my message is for us to take it personal. To realize what the gospel's done in each of our lives individually. And just to realize what the gospel can do in somebody's life tonight. If we would just take the opportunity to take it personal and to share Christ with other believers. Christ has given us a command. He's given us the message. He has equipped us with exactly what He wants us to say, with exactly what He wants us to do. But tonight, He's given us an urgency. Do we see that they're condemned already tonight? If the Lord has spoken to you, and maybe you realize that you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I invite you to allow somebody to take a Bible and to show you how to get to heaven. But tonight, maybe you understand that there is more than just coming to church every week and sitting here and listening to the preaching and going home, but we have a part to play in the Great Commission. That the Great Commission has a role to play in your life. In your life, it has a role to play in fulfilling this command. And God wants to use you. Maybe tonight you realize that there is something that you can do to get the gospel to the world. Tonight, I urge you to come and to make that decision and commit that to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity again. Lord, I pray that you would just take this time of invitation, Lord, and just to use it for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take this area of sharing the gospel more serious in our own lives, Lord. Lord, that we would be searching for opportunities that you give us. Lord, the problem is not that we don't have the opportunity, but Lord, it's that we don't take the gospel personal in our own lives. We don't take advantage of those opportunities. Lord, I pray that you would give us more laborers for the harvest, God. That each of us would take this personal, and that we would do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. And we ask all this in Christ's name.